tell you what, mate.
Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hi, everybody. This is Link at the Linux Link Tech Show. We're going to start Tech Show number 30 in just a second. So hang in there, and we'll be right back. Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Get worse than mine.
There's Dan talking again during the promo, so you catch him every time. Not paying attention. My name is Link, and this is the Linux Link Tech Show episode, or show, actually, number 30, right, guys?
Yes. Number 30, yeah.
This is a milestone for us now.
If we had any more promos, we wouldn't have any show.
Yeah, we could.
It would just be promo.
Well, I just figured out. What
promo
did I figure out?
And
we
closer.
We're working on 16
minutes of
music
just music. I figured out that we could actually do in a show right now. And that's without, like, repeating anything that we did, like, the last couple shows. So that's kind of pretty cool. But anyway, like I said, I'm Link, and Dan's here. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
And Alan's here as well.
Hello.
And this is the Linux Link Tech Show, our episode number 30 on Wednesday, April 28th. 2004.
Where is the time gone?
I'm telling you. That's why I got to plug in my laptop, otherwise it's going to start beeping and crap, and that would not be good since it's playing the music. Anyway.
At least your stays on. Mine only lasts about 5 minutes, and then it goes off.
No, I got like a good 2 hours out of this, but that's, you know, what are you going to do, I guess?
The one downstairs has like 10 minutes, and that's with two batteries.
That's with two batteries.
The Frankenstein laptop.
Awesome.
Did anything more break off of that yet?
The keys are starting to come off like loose tooth on a hillbilly. Loose teeth on a hillbilly. It's I don't know what happens now. For some reason,
but the question are,
the keys
are
just starting
on the right place.
Fall apart. Yeah,
pretty soon it's going to be time for one of those USB keyboards or something he can glue on the top.
Pretty soon I'm just going to have to take the system board out and put it in the desktop.
Oh man, that's hey, crazy. Do we have any news today? The news.
Aside from the obvious news. What could be more newsworthy than the obvious news?
The obvious news.
What would be the obvious news?
Take a stab at what was the obvious news?
The updates to the tech show.
Yeah.
Who cares about the other news?
We've been doing good. We did some website cracking down kind of stuff. It really, really needed to happen.
Which I think that the page looks really good. You did a really good job on it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And after I finally begged Dan to get access to the directory today, I fixed the rest of the pages with the exception of the blog. And then Dan
Dan did us our little forum doohickey, which has seen posts from a grand total of...
Five people. And out of those five people, three of them are us.
Yeah, right.
Wait, who's the... Was it Jono?
Judlin,
I'm sorry. Oh, Patrick, of course, yes. Patrick. Go figure.
Patrick, who is mysteriously absent from the IRC logs at this point in time today.
But, you know...
What
is obviously absent is the other 98 members plus of the lug.
Well, we're working on that.
Not a word of comment.
Hey, people, where the hell are you? Hello? I don't know.
The lug.
Maybe they're like me.
The lug.
This is like, you know, we live in Pennsylvania in the United States. This is not, you know, like Kentucky where everybody's laid back and crap. But I have heard nothing from these people. Like, they're not even reading their email or something. I have no idea.
I was just saying, maybe they're all like me and just, like, didn't read their email for 2 days.
They're all like Alan, who is, you know, a punk.
Doesn't post to his blog. Yes. Doesn't read his email.
Speaking of not posting to your blog there, Dan.
Hey, I was setting up the forum.
I got two this week so far.
And I've been working with my drum machine. So.
He's got two this week so far, and he's proud of that.
Some of us didn't have a four-day vacation.
Hey, man. That's what enticed me into...
You took a day off?
I took Friday off.
And you still didn't post to your blog? No.
Basically, no.
Well, you got to give Alan credit because he screwed his machine up.
And it is work. And actually, yes. I have to say that it's working better than it was before. And I don't know why, because I did everything pretty much I thought the same.
See?
But like my...
It gets better with every install.
How do you lose your root account,
I don't know exactly what happened, but the only thing I can think of...
He's licking his keyboard again, man.
I was installing stuff Saturday. I was working installing a Stream Tuner, which, by the way, is a killer app. If you like,
that's what screwed it up. Stream Tuner.
Well, I don't know. The only thing I can think of was I do a lot of I use Check Install to make Slack packages up when I install things, just because it's easier if I want to get rid of it. If I don't like it, just remove package and it's gone. I don't have to worry about it anymore, and that creates that package as root. So I was changing it back to being me the owner so I could move it around. The only thing I can think of, I have a bin directory, and the only thing I can think of is that what I did... I'll say that again. The only thing that I can think of...
How many times are you going to think of it?
Instead of doing a change owner on my bin directory, I did it on the bin directory. Because that's the only thing I could figure out that I did.
How does that get rid of your root account? This is what I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. Behind the firewall.
Check install, he typed password.
No, I didn't do that. I know that. But I went to go install another piece of it. I was doing StreamRipper at that point. And, I logged in, I SU'd over to root to do check install, and it kept saying sorry. So I'm like, maybe cap lock's on. All the obvious things I tried first on it. Couldn't get it. It just kept coming up saying sorry. So I looked around. Couldn't see anything wrong. Just wasn't thrashing away like the last time when I got cracked and all. So I decided, okay, maybe I just screwed something up royally. I shut down the machine, went to go log back in, and it gets about halfway through where it changes over to from read to read-write, and it starts telling me that it can't do that because only root can do that. So... For some reason, root was gone, and I don't know exactly.
That's an
why.
Interesting question. If that's the case, and you change the owner of
and the only
of
thing
the
I
bin
saw,
directory where they have is the su command in bin, or is that that's in
I
bin.
Thought that was an sbin though.
It should be an sbin. It should be a system. It's a system.
I didn't bother to look. I booted back up with a Nopix disk, and the only thing I could tell when I was looking at the directory was that the bin directory. Inside of the slash directory, it's in bin.
Is it real?
Okay,
well,
so that's probably what happened.
And you changed the owner, and it tried to run it,
and it couldn't do it because it was trying to run as me, probably.
Well, wow. If it's running as you, it won't let you get root access, then, will it?
No, I couldn't get root access.
Well, you can't because it's running. The process is running as you
and even when I booted up. And the problem was, and that's why I started thinking. At this point, I wasn't super sure, so I decided just to reinstall everything because I had a backup, so it wasn't like I lost a whole lot of stuff. And I followed your advice, Link, and I did backups.
There you go.
Sort of backups. I lost a couple weeks, but nothing really major. I don't do that much stuff on here, so. But I couldn't change that directory back on. I don't know if I was just typing the command wrong or if I was tired because it's getting late at night.
It has the sticky bit set on execute, so it would execute as that user. So if you are a different user trying to su to the root account, you wouldn't have access. But did you try logging in as root?
I tried logging in as root. It wouldn't let me do it. Well, no, I'm sorry. I didn't try logging in as root. I just tried suing as root.
So you couldn't su as root, and the first thing you did was wipe your system out?
Well, no, I didn't care about that. It's good. I considered it learning experience for being a dumbass in the first place. But
well, no, wait.
It was penalty. No, actually, I was worried about more of maybe I got cracked because I was trying to. I was outside of my firewall.
Yeah,
for
you
a
had
bit.
Crack, all right. I just think it was the pipe kind.
Yeah, I think it was the operator error kind. But I wasn't sure, and I figured
you needed to brush up on your Slackware installs anyway, right?
And it's painless.
Do it a couple extra times. Make sure you get it down really, really well.
That ranks.
The exception is a couple of funky little things I got to do for this laptop because of just the weird way that it's set up. Shy of that, I mean, it's 45 minutes and it was done.
I see you still don't have the wireless drivers back on there, do you?
Well, I do have the wireless drivers. I don't have the WLAN drivers on here, but I just use the ones that are built into Slack already because.
So why aren't you connecting wirelessly tonight?
Because you haven't given me the codes, and I'm not sure exactly where.
You wiped out your home directory too.
I took the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Because I had my home directory was what I backed up anyway.
So that ranks up there with the person who rebooted their machine because of the blue screen of death screensaver.
No, it's not that bad. I'm a little more intelligent than that one. But.
Yeah, this is a story we're going to have to. I can see that I'm going to have to tell this.
But
Dan has
actually
been bringing it back.
I enjoyed doing it, though.
Yeah.
It was not difficult. And like I said, I had a backup, so it was no big deal.
Well, that's the way you do it, though.
Alan. I'll give you credit, because one time I logged into the server and removed the glibc package. And
I mean,
did it again another time, too. Stupid. And nothing runs when you take away glibc.
Oh, man.
Glibc. Is it glibc? Glibc. I'm sorry.
One of them.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Go
ahead,
Link. You could tell the story.
Right, you want the story. Okay, story goes like this.
Did we tell it last week?
No, I don't think we did. A while back, there was this... gentleman.
Caller.
Something like that. Who
Link's gentleman caller.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was...
ding dong.
Hello. Who was, in fact, learning how to run Linux for the first time. And we've all seen, the Linux X screensaver packages, right? Well, one of those is... what's it called? It's called BSOD, right? Blue Screen of Death. And it cycles through, and it has, blue screens of death from several different operating systems.
There's, a Mac
systems
one, and there's a Vax
sure,
one,
and
yeah, whole bunch of
stuff. Anyway, this guy had Linux set up on this computer, and he was kind of new to it, and he just kind of left it up and running on X. And sure enough, he went out and ate dinner and walked back into his computer room. And this guy, he's an NT kind of person, right? So anyway, he walks back into his computer room, and what does he see? But he sees... the Windows NT blue screen of death on this Linux box. So, being a Microsoft person, what is the first thing that comes to mind for him to do? Well, you guessed it.
Power button.
He walks over and shuts the damn power off on the computer. Turns it back on. Of course, everything comes back up and runs fine. And a little bit later, he calls me up. He says, Link, this most interesting thing happened. I went out and ate dinner, and I came back in, and I got the blue screen of death on Linux. And he's telling me, I really must be an idiot, because I actually got the blue screen of death on Linux. That's how bad I am. And I asked him, I was like, you didn't, move the mouse or, hit the shift key or type on the keyboard or anything like that?
Or breathe on it?
Yeah. And he says,
hard on it?
No, why? And I said, well, you know, because Linux doesn't have a blue screen of death. I said, the only thing I could think of that you were doing was running the X screensaver package. And he said, you know, it looked just like the NT blue screen of death. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I like to think I'm a little bit higher than that. I mean, I did.
That's like
I did,
really
you know,
low
I,
on the food chain there, that kind of.
Yeah, one of the first things I did though was like, you know, I reached for the Nopix disk and, you know, at least tried to like look up and see if I could see a problem. Unfortunately, it was late, so I didn't have any. You know, plus, I realized that.
Listen
I have
to him backpedal in there.
Yeah, right. No. I'm not backpedaling.
And then I did RM slash. RM dash RM.
Nah, just slash. Drop the Slack CD and don't even worry about that RM stuff.
Yeah.
But
so you found like Slack was really easy to install then?
Really easy to install. And actually, I must have done something slightly different because I now have my USB ports. My mouse is working better.
Dude, you probably did that. What's the new?
Hot plug?
Yeah, the new hot plug stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, I think what happened the first time, I originally had problems with the hot plug on this. And I found that what you have to do because of the IRQs on the PCMIA card interfere, you know, they're all screwed up. So what you end up having to do is you have to disable the hot plug for the first boot, then go in and enable the sound card, then run ALSA, and then put hot plug back on. Mm-hmm. And it seems to work fine. Don't know why it does
that's
it that way, but
that's
the way I found out that it worked, and it, you know, I'm going to stick with that little program.
But, it, you know, it's interesting that you said
also
that
I like ALSA.
Also, it locked up the first time I did it, and then I realized that in RC.module... Also,
you suck so bad. Why do you have to have 15 drivers in order to run the same shit OSS does? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I don't even pay attention to how many
magic
drivers it is.
Magic my ass. My ass makes better magic. I can make better sound than ALSA with my ass, too. I just want you to know.
Wow, you're throwing around the A word an awful lot there. I can hear parents screaming right now.
Tough. Let them listen to the Linux show then. But no, what interests me about that is I've been seeing a lot of banter back and forth on different websites and stuff about the usability of Linux and a lot of it's boiling down to, you know, what's easy to install for people. And I always thought that, like, Slackware is, like, it's a brainless install. I mean, it's not a GUI installer, you know, it's not all pretty and crap. But, I mean, it's got, like, 7 items on the menu, and you just go, like, 1 to 7, and you're done. Right?
Pretty much,
yeah. It's not rocket science, man, and it's written in plain English, and it doesn't use any weird kind of terminology that I can find. The only thing that I can think of is that, you know, it doesn't have the graphical installer. And I've heard a lot of people bantering back and forth about how wonderful it is to install Mandrake because it auto-detects all your hardware, or Fedora because it's got the nice graphical installer. And then somebody's talking about how nice it is to install Debian.
Well, I think the latest
because
version...
Because Debian is nice and a minimal install. Debian's installer sucks big time.
Well, I think the newer version is they're going to use the Anaconda... Anaconda, I think it is.
No, they have
one from Red Hat.
They have some different installer that they're working on. They're going to use, but it still hasn't made it into like the Debian stable kind of thing.
It's not in the stable yet.
And I'm thinking to myself, good God, you know. And I always hear all of these. Every time you go look at a Linux site and they're talking about different versions of Linux, you see every version like available, all the major versions. The one that's always absent is Slackware. And
yeah,
I can't figure
that
it out. But if you talk to people, they're all under this like mistaken assumption that Slackware is some really difficult distribution to use, and it's tough to install, and it's...
Oh, let's keep it that way.
I think a long time ago it was a lot harder. But then a long time ago...
Yeah, but a long time ago, anything was... I mean,
well, yeah, I know. I mean,
back
I
when
remember.
Slackware was hard to install, what was your alternative? Like Red Hat 5.2? Well, that was no picnic either.
That was no
you
picnic.
Know what I mean? Like, I remember doing that stuff, and that wasn't any easier at the time. So, I just, you know, I thought it's interesting, you know, interesting piece of Slackware advocacy that Slackware is never mentioned with the other distributions for some reason, and I find it as easier or easier to install and you know, easier to maintain. Now, especially with
Soiree.
With Soiree. Soiree
yeah, that
is
was
wonderful software, man.
That was like the first thing I put on there.
Yeah.
Went and got the latest version and did all the updates and stuff. Two commands and it was done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, you add in a little, you pull out a hash mark in the SWARC comp file, and you can grab packages from Linux packages or wherever the hell you want. And, boy, it's nice. It's nice, you know. Admin in that Slack box now, you just stick that SWARC commands in the cron job, and you're going.
No, Gen 2 was...
yeah, well, that's
There's no installer for Gen 2.
I wanted to talk to you and ask you about your... Since it's been like a whole week now that you've been living with Gen 2, right?
Going on to the second week, and I've been liking it very much. I'm very happy with it. Yeah, like again, my opinion with Gen 2, if you're going to do Gen 2, you should do it from the Stage 1 to get the full Gen 2 effect.
Yeah, but have you done it from like a Stage 2 or Stage 3 on any equipment yet?
No, I don't have any more equipment.
Yeah, I know you were saying, like, last week you were saying, good God, don't do it on anything less than, like, a 500 megahertz machine, because it'll be, you know,
yeah, I don't
14
think
years before you can use
don't
it.
Don't do it unless you have a lot of time.
Yeah, but, you know, you could do a Stage 2 or even a Stage 3 install. And you do not have to install everything from the source, but it makes more sense that way to use something, I think, use something like Gen 2, because that's the big bonus, my opinion. And it went really well for me, and it's still going well. There's been some glitches, some packages that didn't work right, and I've gone out and installed from the sources myself. But one of the things now I'm starting to think about is with installing from the sources myself, what happens when I try installing a package that has a dependency of the source I installed myself? How does that get resolved? And it's something I have to do a little more research on the Gen 2 stuff. Yeah. I finished up this weekend getting everything I absolutely wanted, and I've been doing some other stuff, so I haven't been spending a lot of time with the Gen 2 compilation and everything. One of the biggest frustrating areas with this is the sound support for the OS X, which doesn't seem to be the greatest in the world yet. And maybe I'm missing something, but I'm using the ALSA drivers because that's what seems to work the best, more so than the original OSS drivers. But I still have areas like trying to get the sequencer to work so I can use different applications. Like the drum machine that I've been playing around with doesn't have any sound output. And another thing I have noticed is for some reason I can't play most WAV files.
And another thing. But Gen 2 was great. And another thing.
Well, I don't think it has any, I'm not sure it has anything to do with Gen 2, but or if it's the hardware support on for this power PC, but I get really
your failure as a system.
It's possible too. I get some funky things with WAV files. All right, Alan.
Woo-hoo.
Look at that. He's messing my whole desk up over there.
Computer avalanche.
Well, his book pile here is sort of like growing toward the door.
But
it's trying to escape.
I'm going to explore those areas further this week when I get the opportunity, and next week I'll have more comments, but I very much like Gen 2. What's nice about it is just like Slackware, after I got it up into where I want it, it runs fast. It runs slick, and it runs great. I have a SUSE machine at work on a 800 megahertz P3, I think it is. Well, it's higher than 800 megahertz, and that is significantly slower in operation than when I run Slack. So take that for what it's worth.
Slack.
Well, we get a lot of comments for being heavily Slack.
Yes, we do. We get comments from all over the place about how...
We're always talking about Slackware.
Pro Slackware. Oh, those guys are always just talking about how wonderful Slack. Well, it is. You know, it's a good distro.
We like it.
And it just happens to, you know, our little piece of Slackware advocacy, it happens to work. Take that as you will. As opposed
Slack
to...
Slack is you know, good. Good
it's
is
been a gravitational
Slack.
Thing. And then again... You have to think about it this way. Our like user group and our little association of friendly people that we have over here may gravitate towards Slackware because, you know, one of the things you want to do when you get new into Linux is find the Linux that your friend is running so that if you have any problems, you all can figure out what the hell is going on. And I think a lot of that has happened, too. And since, you know, Dan and I happen to be the founders of the Linux user group over here, we probably have, unbeknownst to us, had some influence on some of the people that have come through, and of course, you know.
Oh, come on, be honest. We heckle people.
We heckle
them,
yeah,
pretty much.
We heckle everyone until they use Slackware.
We what?
You pretty much abuse everyone who comes to the lug without Slackware on the machine.
We abuse them until they use Slackware. But, you know, once it, but, you know.
That took 2 years to beat me in.
Yeah, well, yeah, but to our credit, like, do you, what is your preferred distribution?
It's Slack now.
Well, there you go.
He doesn't say anything.
Which,
else.
You know,
put the gun down now, Link.
A long time because it worked on my machine.
But no, we may beat it into a lot of people and heckle them because they don't use it. But once they do actually, you know, change over to Slackware, that usually they're really, really
well,
happy.
Really
with it,
so. It wasn't really you guys beating up on me too much. On
oh, now he's backpedaling again.
No, it was actually the Red Hat going from, you know, being Red Hat to Fedora. You know, when they dropped all their support and stuff on, I just didn't really feel like, you know, upgrading every 6 months like I was doing with those guys, because it was starting to feel sort of Microsofty, even though, you know, it was, you know, everything ran. I didn't have to upgrade unless I really wanted to on it. But you know, you start pulling RPMs down. I was like, oh, compiled against Red Hat 9. I was like, oh damn it, I only got 8 here. I didn't feel like going out and getting 9 put on the machine. So it was time for a change.
Yes, but you gravitated towards Slackware instead of SUSE.
I gravitated towards Slackware because I knew that when I had a problem, I would be able to you know, shout out to you guys or you know, onto the mailing list, and somebody would be able to help me out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the flip side of that, it seems to be, yeah, we can, I don't want to say we bully people into Slackware, but it seems to be an overwhelming number of people, especially with my experience in the log, go over to Slack and like it from Mandrake or Red Hat. But the people who run Debian are very happy running Debian.
Yes, they are.
And it runs mm-hmm. very well.
When
but
I,
it seems...
When I had it on
but
my
take
machine.
It for what it's worth, though. For the people who are running Red Hat, Mandrake, and some even running SUSE, eventually a lot of people will move over to Debian or Slack.
Yes, they do.
Or Gentoo now is a popular one.
Gentoo is becoming very popular.
Well, I have Debian on the Macs that I have, and I have no problems with that. I mean, it just works once you figure out how to install it. You know, getting the right disks and all, it just works. when I had it on the PCs, it was still
decoding
it
the instructions.
Well,
that was the hardest computer.
actually, and then that was the hardest part to do was decoding the instructions the first time I did it. I mean, I sort of know what I have to do now, so it's not, you know, it's like I've got the 3 disks that I need, and it's just, you know, or it's actually 2, I'm sorry. You know, I've got the 2 disks I need. I know, just pop them in there and go. Even putting Debian on the Spark 10 that I have
mm-hmm.
was not any big problem to do. You know, I grabbed the 2 floppies that I need, popped them in there, answered a couple questions, and it was up and going.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just don't use the VT100.
I didn't use the terminal there, but. And that's something works real nice too.
Yeah, man. I might cut on Debian a lot, and I do cut on Debian a lot because there are some really glaring, irritating points, like the fact that it uses FDisk for your drive partitioner instead of CFDisk. That's stupid. The fact that I could not get X working on my Spark station with this thing—that's stupid. It shouldn't be that hard. Especially for a guy who's been running Linux for 5 years, you know, or 6 years. But, you know, all that aside, and the differences aside, Debian is a good distribution, and I run it as my mail server on a Spark station. Runs wonderfully. You know, and the coolest thing about it is, like, I did that base install, you know, on my Spark station. My Spark station has, like, a gig hard drive, right? You know, this is an old computer. It doesn't have, you know, 80 gig hard drive. Well, you can get them, but SCSI hard drives that are that size are really, really expensive. So I just, you know, and I just use it for a mail server and stuff, and a gig hard drive should be plenty. I put Debian on there, and look, the full base install was 150
megs
or something like
that.
And so, you know, All sum in total, I think it was 168 or 170 megs for the base install, and like
I think I've done.
I pissed around and got pine on it after, you know, four years of playing with it, stuff like that. But other than that, it's rock solid, man.
So you heard it here at the gig,
like 350 megs
hard drive for his
the,
mail server.
Yeah, gig hard drive for my mail server.
Make sure you start sending those attachments right now. flood his email. No, wait, don't do that. Because that's going to hit me first, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to go through you first, man.
Crap.
Yeah, so flood away. When Dan's server goes down, I'll still be able to get my email on my other account.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because I only have a gig drive on that does not mean that I don't have an NFS-mounted partition.
I didn't know you can
mount. Never know.
I didn't know you can mount Windows shares as an NFS.
No. Actually, you can. Windows keeps sending me. Well, like in these magazines that come down, Windows keeps sending these disks, Unix utilities for.
Yeah,
Unix utilities for Microsoft liners. Or something. Yeah, pretty much.
They make lovely coasters.
I
wouldn't even. Stoop to using one of those coasters.
But evidently, I read the back.
I prefer AOL discs myself.
Yeah, I read the back on one of them, and it has like NFS utilities for Microsoft. I guess if you run like a 2000 or NT or something, you can take that your Windows share and mount it via NFS on a Linux box, or vice versa, or mount an NFS share off a Linux box on your Microsoft box, or something like that. But so I think it is possible in all actuality, really.
Mm-hmm. Drink. Chug. Funnel it. Do you like the wild cherry Pepsi?
I reached in for a Coke because I wanted like a red.
You missed.
I reached into the thing to get a Coke. You know, Coke has a red and white label. Well, wild cherry Pepsi kind of has a red and white label too. And if you hurry, you get the wrong one. It's not bad. It's not Coke though. I like my Coke. Kind
of. You're a Coke. You prefer Coke.
I am a Coke.
The first time I had wild cherry Pepsi, I had it out of a fountain, and maybe they didn't clean it right, but it kind of tasted
like soap or oil or
yeah,
something
it
like that.
It kind of had like a soapy aftertaste. So maybe I've been biased
by that. If you were farting bubbles, buddy, chances are that it was not, it wasn't clean very well.
Do you ever go to a gas station or something that doesn't clean their soda fountains right, and they either taste like bleach or mold? Did you ever have that? Boy, that's a disappointment right there.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep going back there every day. I don't like that.
Oh, well, guys, it's time for our mid-show break where we get to listen to some music.
All right.
Some cool,
so do you.
Open source, nifty music. And tonight, we have for you an oldie but a goodie, the free software song, which was, I guess, written by
Alan?
Yeah, Alan.
Metzler? Project?
Alan Metzler Project.
Alan Metzler Project. Nobody even knows.
Yeah, my mind just went blank.
The free software song.
What?
The free software. Who wrote the free software song?
I don't know.
Come on.
Richard Stallman?
Yes.
Well, that's what I, you know, I didn't, I thought you were trying to trick us here. I'm thinking, I would figure.
No, this one's done by a group called Fenster, and this is the free software song by Fenster, and they have like a different take on it, slightly.
It's slightly different take.
But yeah. Is it still open source? Or
it's an open source one, but they like took that.
Is it the shared source version?
They took that, you know, the little, like, I don't know what kind of, just escapes me.
Thingy.
The thingy.
The kind of
the
folk.
Whatchima.
The kind of folk song that the original was, the like the nationality of, I forget. But anyway, they took
German.
That little folk song and they made it into what sounds suspiciously to me like a funk song. Anyway, here is Fenster doing the free software song. Enjoy, and we'll catch back up with you in a couple of minutes now.
Join us now.
look at Alan dance. Go, Alan, go.
Questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net.
And we're back.
That's too long of a promo.
We just chopped off 2 minutes of Dan's promo at the end of that thing.
At Dan's request.
Yeah, at Dan's request. He did, you know, he gave me the behest to do it.
So. Why? Because I just couldn't wait to just mention that the LinuxQuestions.org now has a lug forum on there. And I just went to check it out, and our lug's already posted on there.
Neat.
By Nigel Tufnell. And I'm thinking, I don't know who Nigel Tufnell is, and I remember, but the member is from, I guess says he's from Easton, PA, is running Slackware 9-1.
Another Slackware user.
And,
we don't even know who this guy is.
I wonder if it's Patrick, actually. Because he also mentions
but why would
the
Patrick
Linux Link
call
tech show.
Nigel?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But he lives in Easton, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I don't know any other lug members that live in Easton besides
Sweetie
Cakes.
We probably have three or four people there, but not everybody that says that they're a member of the lug actually comes every time. So it's entirely possible that there is a person. And you know, if you are a real person, Nigel, and we just don't remember, we're sorry.
Sorry, <dude. laughs>
can't help that every time. A lot of faces go through.
Well, you know, why not go over to the lug mailing list and look through the membership?
Yeah, you could do that too.
Why not?
You could put do that too.
Why not, indeed, cool. Alan?
And why while you do that, let me take this opportunity for those of you who are in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania and Western New Jersey, that this very weekend there is the Trenton Computer Festival. Check it out at www.tcf-nj.org. And also, the Allentown Computer Show is happening this weekend as well.
This weekend as well?
Yes, it is. Cool. This weekend as well.
I hate those things, man.
This is a market...
Market Pro Shows.com
or something like that. You can find that information, and they're having their standard computer show thingy over at the Allentown Fairgrounds this weekend as well.
The Windows software you care to buy.
Right, right.
The same crap at every stall at a different price.
Yep, every stall at a different price.
Now, some places you can get some decent stuff.
Well, that's why I mentioned going to the TCF, man, because that is a cool thing to go to. Not only is it a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, once-a-year, regular, PC-crufty kind of computer show indoors, but outside, which is the place to be, man, outside, you go and you get into their flea market. It's like a ham show kind of flea market thing going on. Yeah, incredible deals on real hardware and bits and pieces and parts and electronics gear and whatever you can shake a stick at, pretty much. And it's always a lot of fun. And if you are at all in the area, please do your best to try and attend. Hit that website, tcf-nj.org, and hopefully we'll see you there. That would be really cool.
How would you know if they saw you there?
I, you know, look for the little short, fat, blonde guy with the black Linux hat on.
And the leash with the collar around Alan's neck.
Alan's neck, that's right. The little whip.
And Alan lapping at his legs, waiting for a crust of silicone to drop. I don't know.
Man, you have a really interesting fantasy life, Dan.
Dan fixates entirely too much on me.
On who?
On me.
That's true.
If you're at the other side of the room, I'd get worried.
He likes you.
You're in my line of sight while I'm looking at my screensavers.
Okay. Oh, man. Anyway, more interesting.
Oh, big news. Oh, right, man. Right. I just signed up for Speakeasy tonight.
Oh, yes.
That's hopefully by mid-May, everything will be switched over.
More bandwidth, people, right?
More bandwidth, two static IP addresses. Dude. And you know what was nice? The first time I ever talked with an ISP, not, you know, I've been on Fastnet, and I do like them a lot. They've been really well, really good to me. But I need to switch. More bandwidth, static IP addresses. Just something to do. And it was really nice. The guy I spoke with was really cool, and he's like, you know, he asked my email address to send me some more information, and I told him, he's like, oh, is that your domain? You know, do you run that? I'm like, yep. He's like, cool, as a Linux. Yeah, we run a lot of that around here.
Yeah.
So we're like Linux. You know? It's like, it's the first ISP I ever heard say, yeah, we support Linux all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, usually that's the first thing they say. You're like, I got a problem. What operating system you run? I run Linux. Oh, we don't support that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need you to support it. I'll support it. Just tell me what the freaking IP address is supposed to be or something. Yeah.
Well, so he's like, you know, not only do we support it, but we run it and we love it. So it's really good. Speakeasy.
Yeah.
Speakeasy.net. Many different packages, many different prices. Great service. And that's what everybody says.
But you got to be a Verizon customer around here to do it, though, right?
Unfortunately. Now, the bill, I think the bill is going up against Congress again, or they're reopening that bill that requires that. They were speaking about it on the Linux show.
Right, and this is the bill that they did that requires every ISP to also be a reseller of phone service, right? That's why they had to do this deal.
The ISP has to be run or has to be in some way connected to,
right, to someone who does phone service.
Company, yeah, phone service.
That's why, like, because this particular ISP wasn't affiliated in any way, shape, or form with RCN, so that you couldn't get your.
Well, RCN's not affiliated with.
RCN is a reseller of phone service.
They're a reseller. I thought they were a reseller of Verizon's phone service.
If they were, then you should have been able to.
But it's something to do with the fact that I had to go straight through. I had to go through Verizon.
I don't know.
I don't know how all that's operating. All I know is the service I have now is a really old grandfathered service to begin with Fastnet, because it's an SDL line, not an SDSL, not an ADSL.
Right. So you're going to switch anyway, and that'll bump your bandwidth way up, and
yep.
You get an extra static IP to play with, which would be really cool.
Yep.
And
another mail server for Link.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be the honeypot there. Well, more on that as time comes.
So that's what you're calling Alan now, huh? The honeypot.
No, he's not the honeypot. He's my honey drip.
No, I have important news, and I promised these guys that I would say something on their behest. And that is...
Behest or behalf?
They're both, actually, their behest and their behalf. We've been having some conversations back and forth with a bunch of guys in the UK who are doing a similar radio show, which is really cool. And like Dan and Alan and I have all had a chance to listen to it in several episodes. And it's a funny show. A lot of barroom conversation, which is really cool.
What do they say? It's four guys sitting around like they're at the pub.
Yeah, like they're sitting around at the pub. And that's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a lot of fun to listen to, and they have some good conversation. These guys are running what they call Lug Radio, and you can find them on lugradio.org. I highly advocate that you go there if you listen to this show and see what the fellas across the pond have to say.
You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. It's a really great show, and I think that we've had some conversations back and forth, and we're all going to get together one of these times, or maybe several of these times, and do some simultaneous type of shows and get GNOME meeting involved so we can talk with the fellows across the pond and vice versa, and do some shows. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I can't wait to do it and see what's going on. So
yeah, they're really nice bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And it's been, conversations so far have been great.
I seem to have a long-lost brother over there.
Yeah, and Dan has Alan has a twin over there. It's
they have an Alan. Yeah.
They have their very own Alan. We have an Alan.
If we get them in the same room, will like time and space fold?
I wondered. It's like a Pandora's box kind of thing.
Like, if we were talking then through no meeting, when Aquarius over there talked, would Alan's mouth move? I really like their show. It's hard to listen to at work, working in a school district, because there's some ribald language on there, but it's a great show. It is a great show. It's nice to listen to. I don't mean to bash. Well, I guess I do mean to bash. I mean, when you listen to Lug Radio, and I'd like to think when you listen to ours, there's a level of consistency, that you come to expect and be comfortable with, and a level of consistency that I have found that's starting to lack in the Linux show.
Ah, here we go. That's something else I was going to bring up.
My biggest area contention with the Linux show is they announce the Linux Daily, and it's been anything but
far. Yes, it's been anything but good, too.
I enjoy it. I mean, I give them credit.
Hey, man, they had one show where the guy got on and read some stupid poem and left,
I'd like to go there. It hasn't been daily, and some of the links I've clicked on have not returned anything. You know, there's been an error message, or the stream's not found. So, I mean, I really hope they are able to get it together little better soon. Because I do like
the Linux show, and I like
the daily.
But I tell you, I would like the Linux show a little bit more. I mean, here we are. This is one of my irritations, right? We are supposed to be a community of Linux users, all right? We're a community of Linux users here, a small community, and you branch out into a larger community of Linux users. And, like, we found the guys over at Lug Radio, and they are really cool. You know, they have the same ideals as we do. They want to, talk about using Linux.
Have fun with Linux.
Yeah, have some fun with it, talk about it. And they're not opposed to extending some help or being friendly to, people of like mind. Fantastic. And the reason that this was so refreshing to me is because I have previously, over the last, 32 weeks that we've been doing this show, tried to hassle myself into getting some decent conversation out of the folks at the Linux show who have been anything but really friendly. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say like I think some of the posts I've got back from them were kind of condescending. They haven't been wholly helpful. I've talked with them in person and through correspondence. We've never gotten a mention on their show. It's almost like we're trying to steal their thunder or something, even though our shows are completely different. And I've never really gotten a hold of why it was like that. You know what I mean? I thought for sure when we started this up that they would be all over it. It'd be like white on rice. They'd be excited for us and have some pointers and some tips and stuff like that. And, I got some posts back about the only person who really was helpful was Russ Pavlicek. Nice guy.
And the silence carries on.
Yeah, and the silence carries on.
Yeah, was he the guy that we actually stood around and
talked
with?
Yeah, he was one of the guys
we
talked with the show.
And maybe it's because they're really busy. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, we're all really busy, too. And I've made sure that I had time to go through and have some conversations with the guys at Lug Radio and stuff. And, you know, I enjoy talking with them. And, you know, we're discussed about, you know, the different ways that we accomplish recording our shows and things like that. And by the way, you know, we record our shows using only Linux.
Let's not burn bridges.
No. No, listen to the show anyway. It's great. But, no, that's one of the things that I thought was really interesting this time is, you know, we actually found a group of guys who are doing this stuff and interested in Linux and, you know, weren't, like, too busy to be bothered with another bunch of guys who were doing it and kind of found it interesting, too. So I thought that was really cool, you know. And
it's great.
Yeah, and I hope the conversation and stuff keeps up and we can all get on the air sometime together, where it'd be a lot of fun.
And what's even cooler is it's in another country, too.
Yeah.
And we have a listener, a frequent listener from Canada, which
right.
is great. So
right.
It's nice to extend the community.
Sure, and it's going to work both ways.
Yeah, extend the
You know, we're
going
to make sure that the people who listen to us, you know, at least give a cursory listen to the folks over at Love Radio. And hopefully we're going to, you know, those guys over there are recording their next show tomorrow, I believe, or maybe tonight, and they're going to post it tomorrow. Perhaps we're going to have the same shot. You know, we'll exchange some promo information and
definitely and it's
links
friends,
on the
know?
Websites and we
there's
get
people
listening
with the BC
over.
Lug who listen to our show
yeah,
on our mailing
yeah.
list and they learn about it and spread it. And there's people at the BC Lug that I think go to the Philadelphia Lug and
absolutely.
They're going to learn. So it's going to spread out.
And I just think it's cool. I the more you know. The more we can kind of spread the wealth and
yeah,
have
we'll
fun
have
with
to
it.
Get that T1 line in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're
and then the money will start pouring in and we'll have, you know,
we're
going to
start
T1
working
line
on
coming
it.
In.
We start working on that open source web radio kind of idea, I think. We can just about do it, man. We got like, you know, 45 minutes worth of music just on this, you know, show alone.
There was an interesting thing on their forum, on the Lug Radio forum. Which, you know, after looking at their forum, we said, we got to have a forum, too.
Yes. But that was really nice.
Apparently, there was, and I think this is a European show also, and I forget the name of the show, but some other show reviewed their show, and they were talking about the file formats, and apparently, of course, the Lug Radio uses AUG format.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do they do MP3 also?
They do MP3.
But
they don't really
other
advertise
show
it, but yeah.
Apparently does Windows Media format.
Uh-huh.
And the file size difference was like 8.
Yeah, I remember that. It was 40 megs.
It was
like many times, you know.
Okay, how do you download a 40 meg show? Start it and come back tomorrow.
Well, you know, if it's Windows Media, I guess they just kind of stream it through. And I don't know. I would rather do, you know, the AUG or MP3 and have the file and be able to listen to it at my leisure. You know,
you need to have both. Because people like me, I downloaded their shows to listen in the car. I have an MP3 player in the car, so I need to have the MP3 formats. As much as people like AUG and everything, I think it
sure.
sounds good too, but. A lot of times you have to have both. You're putting stuff up.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of sound and AUG.
Yeah.
I've been playing with the hydrogen drum machine. And it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. My wife's sick of hearing this. The beats coming out of the room. And I was up till 4 o'clock the other night playing around with it and putting something together. And
your kids must have nightmares.
4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning.
And as I posted on the
they're crying earlier.
The vlog.
Because you haven't slept since 4 o'clock in the morning.
I did put a little ditty together to demonstrate the power of hydrogen, which you can do. And this is with just the default
the
hydrogen.
The power
stuff.
Of hydrogen.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully we'll play it for you right now.
Yeah, I want to play
it's
it.
It's called Dance of the Possum. Yeah. It's a little disjointed. It's my first it's my first effort with a drum machine. But, you know, definitely play it. And you can see some of the stuff that you can actually do.
That's right, man. Dance of the Possum by our friend and brand new musician. Dan
well,
Lasco.
You know, I've played the bone in the past.
Yeah.
Well, that's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic of conversation for, you know, a more adult themed show. But
if you're listening to this on download yeah, archive, right. Make sure you're running it through XMMS with a decent stereo system. Stuttering Dan.
Yeah, here we go. Dance of the Possum by Dan. All right.
A lot of fun.
Marching days.
Yeah. Hydrogen.
That brings back all the fun marching band days, you know?
That's it. And you can get a different bunch of plugins on there, so you can change it to more of a techno beat, different drum sets, different drum kits is what they call them. So it's something worth playing around with. I do have Slackware packages. I tried compiling the newest one on.
You need to put
Slackware
some of those like, bass notes that just vibrate that don't really sound anything. It's like.
Huh?
Bass notes that you know, the boom cars have. You need a bass track like that to go along with it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now, next thing I'd like to find is kind of a music composition program that would allow different musical instruments that you can actually just like compose a little bit of music and simulated musical instruments to go with.
No, that
it.
Would be yeah. fun too. I could have some fun with that.
Now I know there's a software for Macintosh and Windows, but I don't know if there's anything for Linux like
there's
that.
There's got to be something, man.
You need a sequencer is what you need.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to run. You know. I don't want to do it with. Damn, man, dinner is backing up on me something fierce today, man.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good, but, man, it tastes better the first time. Man, you don't want, I would like to do it, too, but I don't want to do, like, you know, sampling and stuff like that. It takes forever, man. Be nice if there was just some little music composer program that you could, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Do-do-do-do. That'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, gentlemen. Have we anything? We are very, very nearing the end of the show. In fact, past it already. Have we anything to say to the fine folks out there before we close this down tonight?
Thanks for listening. Come visit the forum.
Yeah. New forum. Check it out. Really cool. Dan put it up there. We copied it right off the guys at Lug Radio.
Hey, it's a good idea.
Hey, it was an awesome mic. I really enjoyed going over there and looking at this stuff. So I was, I called Dan right up. I'm like, dude, look at this. It's really cool. Can we have something like that?
Why not?
And Dan says, well, of course we can. We'll just use that one.
That's a nice little forum. A lot of
yeah,
places.
Yeah, that's really cool.
A lot of places are using that forum.
So that's, that in all actuality, is like a popular forum then, right?
Yes.
That's cool. I like the way it works. I like having like the little avatars there and
yeah, I gotta come up with a picture that won't scare people.
Yeah, like Dan's.
What's wrong with my picture?
Dan, it's you in a thong, man. That's what's wrong.
The Danimatrix there.
The Danimatrix, yes. At any rate, this is we're running out of time for the show. So thank you for coming to check us out on our 30th edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. This makes 32 weeks for us doing this, which is really quite an accomplishment, I think. Please.
Here's to 30 more.
Yeah, here's to 30 more. Please, by all means, make sure you come back and visit us once weekly if you can. Listen to us live if possible. If not, make sure you download the archives and tell your friends and family about it, too.
Pop in and listen to the stream.
Yeah, sure. Pop in and listen to the stream anytime. It's always running. My name is Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
Thank you for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show, and we'll catch you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Pulling the Link Tech Show.